everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, also I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Thank you.
I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for this word which was read. Your holy word, we thank you for that we can hear it and that you can speak to us through it. We pray you do that in this time even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Tommy takes responsibility for his own faith in God. Yes, he does. He takes responsibility for his own relationship with Jesus Christ. The verses he read just a moment ago emphasize the importance of boldly acknowledging God in our life. He read the words from Matthew 10:32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. To acknowledge Jesus before others is to tell others that you're a Christian. But it's more than just saying, I'm a Christian. Because we know that a lot of people will say, you know, if they're asked for a Christian, they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But what does that mean? Because it seems like many, many people across the United States say they're a Christian. A large majority. But how many really know what they believe? How many really profess the faith of the Bible? To acknowledge Jesus before others is to tell them you're a Christian, but it's much more than that. To say, like, Jesus, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. It's like to say, he's the ruler of my life. He runs my life. It's to tell others that Jesus is your Savior, and he died on the cross for my sins. It's to say, I'm a sinner, but I'm a forgiven sinner because of Jesus. His life, his death, and his resurrection. When we acknowledge Jesus, remember hearing that text that says, he will acknowledge us before his heavenly Father. That is extremely significant. We will be tempted at times to be silent when the opportunity arises for us to share our faith, but we will never regret confessing Jesus. Never. People may ridicule, they may mock, which seems to be such a popular thing to do today in our nation. We must never disown Jesus before others because he will disown us before his Father in heaven. We've heard in various Bible verses that Jesus came to bring peace. We hear it at Jesus' birth. We call this from Luke 2, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. And then we also hear this, that if you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, he says, you need to listen to the Prince of Peace, you know, Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. No one can have peace apart from him. We know that. And in fact, a short devotional I saw this morning even said that for this day, I'm talking about Jesus, the one who brings peace. Philippians 4 says it, that if you come to God in prayer, he gives you peace that passes all understanding. This is from John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus gives peace. He said that as the first words after the resurrection to his disciples. peace be to you. But then we have Jesus in this passage say something very interesting. He says that he came not to bring peace, but a sword. Luke calls it division. Now we have it clarified in the following verses what Jesus is speaking about. This is what's going to bring the division. Anyone, this is what's going to bring a sword. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We are to love Jesus more than our mom and dad. We are to love Jesus more than our son or daughter. Though not listed here, it's clearly implied. We are to love Jesus more than our spouse. Loving Jesus more than everybody else. Now, people who are not Christian might say, what? You know, why? They may even be unaware of the first commandment, which talks about having no other God. Because if we have a love for something, even a sport, even a job, even a house or a lifestyle, more than we have for Jesus, we have made that a false God. If we love somebody else more than anybody else, as Thomas had said last Sunday at his catechization here, he said that we are to love God above all else. Many people are not going to like that you love Jesus the most. In most countries in the world, loving Jesus the most can be enough to get you persecuted, tortured, put in prison, or killed, if it becomes known. Most governments want your allegiance, and they want your love. They may not say that, but they want your love. They want your undying allegiance to the government. Many people don't even believe in Jesus, and so they may think that you're mentally unstable. How can you love what many say is a fictitious person or a myth, like many people think the Bible is? Loving Jesus more than others can bring division in families and nations and cultures. It's just the way it works, because Jesus said, you're to love me more than them. It's evident today in our nation. You can see it all around. Watch the news. Jesus prefers division if it means having you love him the most. Because loving him is what matters. Because he is first loved us. Division is a consequence of devotion to God in our fallen and sinful world. But we know that if someone doesn't like that, they are the ones with the problem, not you. They are the ones to pray for. They may not believe in God. They may be jealous. They certainly have their love and their priorities out of order, at least according to what God would say. My wife, Sandy, and I have said this many times, like when we're tucking our kids in for bed, which we don't do right now with any. He tucks us in. But Mom and Dad sleep well. I'll be up till 2 or whatever midnight. And he gets up early. But we would say to our children, to every one of them, we'd say, we love you very much, but God loves you more. And it's hopefully reciprocated in that passion what they say to us too. I love you very much, Mom and Dad, but I love God more. That's what we want to see in our children. That's what we want to see in Thomas all his life, and his family, and all of us too. Know that God loves us so much that he calls us to love him first. Loving Jesus more than anyone is the key to understanding what it means to take up your cross and follow him. You ever wondered about that phrase? It means loving Jesus more than anybody else. That's what it means to lose your life, too. To love Jesus more than anyone else. It means not to protect your life in the way it is and wanting to have wealth, whatever it might be, it's to love Jesus first. And that's giving up your life. And then you'll have purpose and joy all your days. Paul in Romans 10 repeats the theme too, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, it's that idea of proclamation, of announcing, of telling other people, honoring God before others. He goes on to say in verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. All connected. Anyone trusting him will never be put to shame. My wife and I would say to each other as well, and I've used it, I think, a couple times in different messages for weddings. But what Jesus is speaking about here is, like, even if someone, you know, believe it or not, you may love your family more than anybody else right now, except God, you know, but there may come a time when there's a significant woman in your life that you are going to want to marry. And you're going to love her a lot. You know, she's going to love you. But what it comes down to is you're going to love Jesus more than her, right? Yeah. So that you can say to each other, you know, I love you a lot, but I love God more, but second to God, that's not too bad. Right? And that applies to anybody else in your life you may love. Being second to God in terms of love isn't bad. Second to God, it's pretty good. God gets the best. We give thanks to God that you've experienced and you received God's grace in your life. Love Jesus more than anybody else. Keep your relationship with Jesus as number one. Everyone else can be in second place. After all, second place to God is pretty good. Having Jesus first is always the best. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your abundant grace and love towards us. Help us, God, all to love you first and most, so that everything else is in proper order. We thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.